ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 30 of the Dunk Dynasty podcast. Fresh off massive game one, interesting game one between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves still game one, but you know, first round finally over. We've been fans of the first round, lots of good games, lots of good series. There's only one to go. Tomorrow, the game seven that no one cares about, NBA TV series, Cavs and Magic. But we're here to dissect not only our predictions for that, our predictions for the entire second round in both conferences, and review the first round and see where some of those losers are going to go going in future. And one last thing, the giveaway. If you're watching this or listening to this, May 6th, the giveaway is tonight. If it's May 5th or whatever it is, then last chance to get you guys entries in. But with that being said, let's get into it, fellas. Dissecting game one between Timberwolves and Nuggets. What was your thoughts?
Quick start by the Timberwolves. I really thought once the Denver Nuggets brought that back that they were going to run away with the game, but that never happened. Anthony Edwards is proving to be the guy who we're all hoping him to be. Coming out, you know, the face of the league's up for grabs, and he's really, really gunning for it. Those are my first initial thoughts. What about you guys?
That Anthony Edwards is that guy. And Rudy Gobert's mobility is potentially going to cost them some points or games in this series. Like Jokic bodying that guy and late in the fourth, even you know through the second and third and that, and he just looked terrible out there, like defensive sense of my ass. Naz Reid looked like he had more of an impact with Cat out there. So there's a couple of switches potentially that the T-Wolves have to make sure they can keep Jokic under wraps. And I think Jamal Murray not getting a bucket till the third, pretty defining that is, but MPJ stepping up, love a bit of that.
Gobert, he forced Jokic to shoot so many threes, and Jokic got so many turnovers today. So Jokic did have a bit of impact on the defensive end. He's blocking a few shots on the inside. It was making Jokic work for sure.
Yeah, but there was like certain positions there where Jokic was getting the exact spots he wanted, which from a three-time...
I'm working, though.
Yeah, but he worked efficiently. Like, at the end of the day, I would say Jokic was winning those positions where he was like, bump, bump. Gobert was backing right off, trying not to foul. You know, I don't know. I just feel like Jokic kind of established himself as someone who, if he wants to get those shots, he can in this series. Didn't help them win the game. Yeah, so what does it mean?
Yeah, I agree with Trey. I feel like they're going one-on-one coverage. It's Gobert versus Jokic. They've clearly got confidence in him to go one-on-one. Like, it's not Jokic, you're not going to stop him. He's too good. It's only contain him, see what he can do, and they're happy to go Rudy Gobert one-on-one coverage. I was happy with what the Timberwolves did. I think it was a great game one for them. And I think the biggest difference was definitely what you get from the bench for the Timberwolves versus what you get from the bench for the Nuggets. You know, Naz Reid comes out there offensively, does his thing defensively. A few lapses, but otherwise was pretty good. You had Monte Morris come in there as well. Like, these guys, obviously, they're not scoring sometimes, but what they're doing is they're coming in, they're giving an impact. Even defensively, they were good. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, same thing. Whereas on the other side, Christian Brown, what? Your first three since last year, last year against the Lakers, game four, whatever it was. And then Peyton Watson, not amazing. Reggie Jackson, his a three. But, bro, other than that, that's a shaky start for that bench. And that's one thing that we spoke about previous series to say. It's a lot of leaning on the starters. The bench is going to have to step up. Game one, they were outplayed. Rest of the series is going to be very interesting because, yeah, the starters look pretty even. Bench, what can you do for me? And Timberwolves 1-0 in the series, 1-0 to the bench. On to game two. And,
interesting comments there, because when you kind of look at the plus minus, which is kind of like the box score view of how the starters went and how the bench went, the starters for the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon minus 23, Murray minus 22, the bench players, Holiday plus 19, Reggie Jackson plus 15, Watson plus 2, Braun plus 4, they kind of... It's not as bad as it maybe it looked while the players were going out there. The most worrying one for me, Aaron Gordon, the glue guy who's been so huge in a lot of these big Nuggets playoff games, minus 23. I think the Timberwolves come out and they really handled him quite well. So, yeah, if the Nuggets want to win, Aaron Gordon's got to step up his game and he's got to bring that impact he's brought in so many playoff games before this one.
The Nuggets went on a 23-3 run, and that's where that comes into play. The T-Wolves were up 14, Aaron Gordon goes off or whatever, then they go on that big run. That's where the plus minus gone. The Nuggets had a terrible start. Like, it was so
That's only
bad.
that only accounts for 14 points, so they brought it back. Well, there's another another stint in there. There's like that's
the third
I know
quarter.
It's not perfect.
The T-Wolves missed like two shots the whole quarter.
Yeah, you're also missing the point that the Denver Nuggets defense and from their bench players, they played good solid defense to keep the Nugget keep T-Wolves from scoring on them and keep T-Wolves bench from scoring. I understand that Nasrid went off in the fourth because shit, he went off in the fourth, but that defensively the T-Wolves have to also their bench players have to also step up. They've got a deeper bench, you've got better players, players that can actually start in that team, and so they need to step up when it comes to those games where Towns and Gobert and Anthony Edwards aren't on the court. They need to actually take the step up. They can't have the Nuggets, Reggie Jackson and Braun defending them and stopping them from scoring buckets. That's how the Nuggets got back into the game. They can't allow that.
You're asking the wrong person to step up. It's Jaden McDaniels. Where was he today?
Well, for the Timberwolves.
He was floating. His defensively, he was sound.
Yeah, but offensively, he was...
But he's not there to be an offensive stud, though, is he? Because they've got scorers and players that can do that. He's there to provide the defense and stop Gordon or MPJ getting buckets. MPJ did go off today, but Gordon didn't. Murray didn't go off either. So until well, he did, but he didn't initially.
I think as long as Jaden McDaniels is keeping the defense honest from three, as long as it doesn't get to the point where, like, you know, they put him on an island and he's out there by himself, then I think you're okay with how he's going. But definitely you do need more production from him if the Timberwolves are going to snatch this series. 1-0 lead, perfect place to start. Just let's keep it going.
Wolves and six, man. And it's Wolves and six for that very reason, bro. Jaden McDaniels is not a guy who I'm looking for to get me offense. I'm not even worried about that. I'm happy with that. They've got plenty of balance, and that's why I skip on saying Wolves and six. They've got plenty of balance. I know Naz Reid is not going to do this three more times in every other game that they win, which I believe they'll win. They've got Cat to go have a big night. They've got Anthony Edwards to go have a big night like he had today. They've got the guys to do it. And there you go. Starts off with a game one. Now you go into game two. It's going to be very fascinating because I think Jaden McDaniels played excellent defense in that first half on Jamal Murray. And then second half, obviously, they went more to that two-man game, trying to get him buckets with Jokic in that pick and roll. So now in game two, how is that going to be different? Are they going to start doing that from early doors? Jamal Murray, obviously, second half looked far more comfortable. Was it because first half he was a little bit hampered? Because what's his name? Mike Malone came out before the game and said that Murray didn't have plenty of time with the team to practice much because he was quite limited with the calf. Now that he's had a game underneath him, now that he's going to have, obviously, will practice, I assume so, will he come out game two, give us from the very beginning what he did in the second half? So it's going to be quite fascinating, I reckon.
Nuggets, yeah, they say the game two. What was that?
Nuggets need to win game two.
Yeah. They always say a series doesn't start till the first team wins on the road. So this series is well and truly on. I think the Nuggets have to come out and win game two. And the most important one will be game three for the series after the Timberwolves taking this one. If the Timberwolves win that first one at home, they can really start to put a lot of pressure on the Nuggets.
Wolves and six. What's everyone else's predictions? I got Wolves and six.
Oh, I was Nuggets in six before the game, but I'm Nuggets and seven now.
I'm going Nuggets and seven. I believe that the Nuggets, their peak is just too good. And I did love what I seen from the Timberwolves today, but my money's still on the Nuggets.
I've got Wolves in six or Nuggets in seven.
Yeah, nice, bro. Not a prediction. Yeah. Prediction is one thing. I got the Nuggets or Timberwolves winning the series.
Oh, good. You keep talking. All good.
It's one team. What's the prediction, bro?
Now, so you tell me when you're done. You tell me when you're done.
Is it the Nuggets and seven or Timberwolves and six?
You tell me when you're done.
Is it Nuggets and seven or Timberwolves and six? You tell us.
It's going to be T-Wolves and six, but if it goes to Denver in game seven, Denver's going to win it because T-Wolves aren't going to win in Denver. So it's going to be T-Wolves. But I got T-Wolves and six.
There you go.
If you guys want to know who I think is going to win the NBA championship, I reckon it's one of the teams that's left in the playoffs. I reckon I back one of them to get it done.
I think it's either the Celtics or the Timberwolves or the Nuggets. That's my prediction too, man.
Ethan's not a happy man after that one. Look at him.
I reckon the Clippers.
Oh, wow. That's dark times. That is dark times.
Well, there's only one person here with the team still left in the playoffs. So,
oh, yeah, it's you, isn't it? Jeez. Must be nice, yeah. Man. How you enjoyed that? Yeah. How you enjoyed watching the playoffs with actual, you know, emotion on the line?
I don't know. I just feel like everyone, all my friends surrounding me just want to see me fail. So not that it's me playing, but that everyone's rooting against me. So
you know what? If we had to predict before, I don't think anyone would have said that. I think we all predicted that we would be still watching and you'd be, yeah. But it's the complete other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, I'll give Trey the Nuggets. Trey's been a Nuggets homer for a few years. So, you know, we can say he's still got a team in the fight.
He said homer, by the way, guys. Not the other year. There you go.
Oh, yeah, homer, yeah.
I didn't hear the enunciation there, so I was like, I'll clarify the enunciation.
Homer says,
yeah, Trey, what are your comments on that quickly before we move on? Are you a Nuggets man?
I've support a terrible team, so I've got to pick another team, you know, that I support in the playoffs, and it's the Nuggets or the Mavs. So,
one. We've been through this. You can't pick two teams. You're picking.
It's the Nuggets or the Mavs or the Celtics, or just be like me, or whoever makes it to the finals and wins. That just do that. Yeah. There you go.
No, Nuggets or Mavs, man. That both been really good teams to watch this playoff so far.
Yeah. And real quick, we'll give our predictions for tomorrow's Game 7, since this is the NBA TV series. Cavaliers versus Magic. Game 7 in Cleveland. Who does everyone got? I'm going to go with the team I said I was going to win the series in 4. I'll go with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Magic. I've had every pick wrong. So
Donovan Mitchell, you're going the second round.
What's the name? I'm picking the Orlando Magic to win the pillow fight. The sleepover's coming to an end and the pillow fight finale is tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the Magic are going to win as well. Cavs suck.
Bro, Evan Mobley, man. Learn how to baby hook, cuz.
So that's 3-1. Wait, Jed, did you say you were Magic as well? So that's 3-1. Three on the Cavs. Okay, so 3 on the Magic, only me on the Cavs. Crazy. Yep. Evan Mobley is going to be so fun to watch. Like going to Game 7. Bro is not him, but...
Said no basketball fan ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got tickets to the Cavs. I can't wait to watch Evan Mobley play.
The second coming of Kevin Garnett. I think that ship has long sailed now. It's gone. Okay. All right. That's the Duck Dynasty podcast picks for tomorrow's Game 7. So... let us get to the main thing on the agenda. Lots of teams in the first round. Well, 8 teams after tomorrow will all have lost. And then now we've got plenty to discuss. So over the next episodes, we're going to discuss where teams are going to go in future. The teams that lost in the first round, what they've got going for them, what they need to possibly change up. So starting today, we'll start off with the Western Conference teams. So our losers there, we had the Lakers, we had the Clippers, we had the Suns. And there's one other team here that I forgot to write down. Who was it? That's trivia, actually.
The Pelicans.
There you go. The New Orleans Pelicans. That's your 4 teams. So let's start off with any, mini, miny, mo. Let's start off with the Los Angeles Clippers, who lost in 6 to the Dallas Mavericks. Absolute beatdown. Where do the Clippers go? Let's start off with the Clippers fan, Ethan.
Yeah, so unfortunately I missed the game yesterday because I was out playing rugby, so I've just managed to watch the highlights, and I'm pretty disappointed, actually. The Clippers, I could go on all day about it. I won't bore you with the detail. but there's some clear problems there. For example, Kawhi staying healthy in the playoffs is a big issue. 4 years in a row he hasn't been healthy, so there's definitely some issues there. PG, I honestly, I've had enough. He's a free agent. I'll just get rid of him, honestly. Sign and trade or just get rid of him. I don't care which way it is. Just, I've had enough. Harden, like, re-sign him. He's good. Harden's solid. He's a solid point guard to have. But I think the Clippers are missing a big man. Like, Zoo was good in the series, I think, because the Mavericks were undersized with Gafford and Lively and that. They're smaller, bigger men. So I just don't think there was – that the size problem wasn't there. But I think when you get to the tougher sides, like the Teals, the Celtics, the Nuggets, all those types of sides, where they got even Philly with the big players, big guys, big bodies, they need somebody to take over there. And I just don't think Zoo's it. Zoo off the bench with the bench players would be perfect. So I think the Clippers this offseason need to go target a decent big man that can actually fill that void. They also need another wing defender, wing scorer kind of player. I don't know who that would be just yet, but somebody that can fill that void that PG is going to leave, because I don't think he's coming back. Clippers have said that they want us to re-sign Harden and PG, but I think both of them want a max contract, so it's going to be tough to keep both for those next 2 to 3 years. So one of them's going to have to go. Paper, scissors, rock, I don't care.
That's Russell, a good Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook didn't show up either. What, he's 4 of 32 in games 2 to 6 or something like that? Like, seriously, like, he's meant to be the glue piece for the Clippers off the bench, and he didn't show up. There's problems there, whether that stems from the coach of Ty Lue or whether it's just a player's thing or whatever that is, I don't know. But the Clippers need to definitely go back, look at the playbook, 4 or 5 years of PG and Kawhi building for a playoff run, and we haven't done it. So is it time to just cut loose on all of them, or is it just build around Kawhi, fill them with pieces, and then see what happens? I don't know.
Damn, I'm surprised about the Zubats. I thought Zubats was easily their second best player behind Harden in the series. He was the second best player.
With you say that, but then like in the regular season when the wheels started to fall off, I feel like a lot of it was Zubats doing. He just wasn't being consistent enough. He wasn't being aggressive enough. So like he might have had a good series, and the matchups might have favored him in this one. But I think you need to look at the bigger picture. You're not always going to play the Dallas Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs. You need to prepare to have a better chance to beat all teams. And I just don't think Zubats is your guy going forward. I completely agree with Ethan.
But Zubats missed plenty of time, like, during that regular season. And when he come back,
When the Clippers were going bad, Zubats was the guy who wasn't playing minutes because he couldn't defend. He was getting 3 points, 4 points, and he was getting 3 rebounds on these players that are not better than what he is, apparently. So what he had a really good series. Gafford didn't play very well. I would say Lively's too young, inexperienced just yet to perform on Zubats. Zubats is bigger, so he had a good series, solid series, and he had to do a lot more work because the efficiency wasn't coming from other people. Whereas, Jed says the bigger picture, I think the Clippers need to go out and actually hunt a big man that's going to fill that void. I don't know who it is, but like, for example, like the Cavs with Jared Allen potentially could be an option.
Now, I reckon
probably
The guy for the Clippers, get Nick Claxton in there. I reckon he just brings another dynamic where you've got, like, you don't reckon, Pete? You don't like that?
No, I don't know, but like, because I just don't know, like, I'm thinking about Claxton, like, in who are we trying to beat here? You got to be honest. If you're any team in the West, who are you trying to beat? One team, Nuggets. Claxton, I'm not really trying to, I mean, because it's just, bro, Zubats, in my opinion, done. He put in a job. Obviously, I understand what you're talking about, mismatches and stuff, but other than that, when he was in there, he was giving you what he's supposed to be giving you. I don't think any other big man outside of the stars can give you better than what Zubats gave you.
Okay, where do you reckon the weakness is? Well, first of all, I reckon the one thing you didn't touch on there, Ethan, Ty Lue is probably the most important thing. I think you need to lock him down because he's like, is he a free agent this summer?
No, he's got one more year, but I think they're looking for an extension.
Yeah, so you lock down Ty Lue. You sort out the thing with Westbrook because there's the crack starting to show there with him saying he wasn't actually as comfortable. To be fair, credit to the Clippers and how they handled like that, because it looked like they all locked in and committed, but to see that he wasn't fully comfortable with the bench role and the way he performed the playoffs, there's a bit of work to be done there. Whether Westbrook's going to be back next year will be a question. But aside from that, the big man thing, so you reckon you stick with Zubats. Where's your gap in the roster? Where to improve to be better?
Bro, I think you've got to go out there and get some more wing play and a backup point guard, a proper backup point, because I just don't think, Westbrook, maybe it was the fit, but I just don't think, even then, I just don't think Westbrook is, I don't want to sound like I'm being a hater. I just don't think he's that guy. I'll put it simple. He's not the right guy for that team, because at this point in time, you just can't have a guy on your team who cannot space the floor and shoot and has to have the ball in his hands the entire time. You have to have some sort of ability to be a shooter, space the floor. He didn't give you any of that. You couldn't put him on the floor again in the Mav series. He's not really a lockdown guy. If he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's not giving you anything. So it just became like, bro, I'd rather just have Norman Powell bring the ball up and Westbrook, you can sit down, because at least Norman Powell, he doesn't have the ball, he can knock the three down for me. So I'm trying to go out there, get some wing players, because let's assume that Paul George is leaving, which hasn't signed the extension, and by now, surely, I think, go out there, get some other, some wing depth, stack it up a little bit.
That's the hardest thing to get in the NBA, wing depth, especially good defensive wings. 3-and-D wings would be the hardest. Bless you.
Bruce Brown might be easy to get this offseason.
Was that?
Bruce Brown might be easy to get this season.
I don't think Bruce Brown is bringing enough to the Clippers.
There's enough.
What the hole is going to be.
I think there's enough young talent of players that aren't actually getting opportunities in these other bigger teams that are going to be available to be.
But who? Just out of curiosity.
Moody.
Yeah, Bruce Brown's one, but also another one would be from the Spurs. What's it, Keldon Johnston? I think he's solid.
God, he is absolutely no use to the Clippers.
He can shoot.
But it's going to be getting about how are some of these teams like going to get these guys. But yeah, for the Clippers, I think, yeah, definitely for sure, you've got to find a way to re-sign Harden, which they will be, because I think Paul George, without a doubt, is he's GG's. But the Kawhi situation has, that's the one I'm looking at the most, because that is, what do we pay you for? We pay you for the playoffs. You've not been in the playoffs. 2022, you missed it. 2023, injured first round. 2024, injured first round. Bro, we paid you this money to carry us when it comes to playoff time. You're never there. I think that's a, bro, he's going to be there for the entire 3 years of that deal, but it's a terrible contract. Based on, I'm saying it's the worst contract in the NBA, purely because what is that money for? Because it's for you to be the star come playoff time. You're never there. Worst contract for me, easily.
It just cannot surpass. I agree with you, bad contract, but it just cannot surpass Zach LaVine or Chris Middleton. Those two contracts.
But Bradley Beal in the playoffs.
But those guys are not paid. Like, be honest. With Zach LaVine, are you really looking at Zach LaVine to say, that's my number one? He's my guy. Come playoff time, you're the guy who's going to be my number one. Whereas Kawhi, I think it's truly clear. You are the number one. You're never there when you're actually supposed to be there.
Yeah, okay. Zach LaVine is on $43 million. How much is Kawhi Leonard on?
50 about starting 40. Next year.
Brandon Beal is on anyway, 50 something.
But that just doesn't matter. What it is that you're paying... The Clippers, when they started paying Kawhi, he was a top five player in the league to the playoffs, and we relied on him to get there. We mortgaged our future on that, and him and Paul George. And he's played in one playoff series where he hasn't been injured. 2021, he also did his ACL. He's been injured for the last 4 years every time we get to the playoffs, and the Clippers are out in the first round or in the play-in. They just haven't – they need him to get through it, and he's not doing it. I'm not paying Zach LaVine to get me through the playoffs. I'm paying Zach LaVine because he's talented. Yeah. I'm paying Kawhi to get me through the playoffs. I don't care if he went and played 65, 70 games in the season. That doesn't bother me. It's the playoffs that I want him in.
Okay, I get where you're coming from, but that's more about expectation rather than what the contract's actually about. I think that's where I'm getting caught up. Like, I agree with you. It's disappointing, but it's just your expectations don't line up with the contract. Zach LaVine and Chris Middleton's contracts are worse. But then when you think about it and what you're paying Kawhi Leonard to do, I do see where you're coming from. But also, I think Paul George is the one who sold more. Paul George is the one who's like played in a lot of these games where he could have a lot of, like, where he could have the impact. And Paul George throughout his career has painted himself as the guy who can do all this stuff, playoff P, you know, all this kind of shit. But he's never actually really fronted up to much. All he's done is built his reputation up as much as possible and let down as many people as possible. Kawhi's done it, at least.
Paul George is the number two. He even said that. He said he was the number. I even said he's number two. But I just don't know.
The only number two Paul George is the one that you drop in a toilet.
I don't think you can come at Paul George as like that, you know, because he's not the number one guy. I think, let's be honest, we all know Paul George is not the number one guy on that team. There is the number one. The number one's never there. And plus, people will talk about Paul George 2022, 23. Okay, what did he do in 2021 when Kawhi wasn't there? Yeah, they lost to the Suns in conference finals, but he still was there, putting up stats. But people don't want to talk about that. People only talk about 2022. Oh, they missed the playoffs then. 2023. Like, bro, everyone always wants to come at Paul George. Where's the number one guy that gets paid to be the number one? Never there.
I feel like if they lose Paul George, a directionless team. Like, they're not going to win
I don't know.
Denver or T Wolves.
I reckon the best case scenario for them, if Paul George leaves, is Paul George wants to go to the Cavs or something, and to make the money work, they have to do a sign and trade, and the Cavs and the Clippers might get back Darius Garland. I reckon that could be a nice little a win. That's something the Clippers should try angle for. I do, yeah. That you just got to remember, they've got the new arena. They're not gonna try to go back and build a little bit for the future. They're gonna commit to this thing. They're gonna throw whatever they can to dig themselves further down a hole, and they'll just pay for it as the years go on.
See, I disagree. I don't think that. I think a sign and trade with Paul George is, I think that's what they need. And with the Cavs, even Mobley, Allen, one of those two, I think, and work around that. And I think the Clippers should go out and target Tyus Jones and throw something at the Wizards to try to get him over, because I think he's going to bring more impact to the team and put Harden at the two guard than Garland. I think Garland will be more too ball dominant and try to have too much of an impact that way than Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones just want to assist and give everyone the opportunities, and it will just, I think, it'll open the floor up.
But the asking price for Tyus Jones is way too high for the Clippers, I think.
It's the Tyus Jones market is crazy, because Tyus Jones has proven that he can step up when everyone steps out. And there's a lot of teams whose star players step out quite often. So the market for Tyus Jones, I do rate that you brought him into it, though. I reckon Tyus Jones would be a great stabilizing piece for that team. But
on any team.
Yeah, to be fair, I couldn't think of a team he'd fit badly on. Apart from the Grizzlies, because I don't know, that would just be weird to see him back.
Well, that's the Clippers. Where will they go will be interesting. Yeah, if Paul George comes back, if Harden comes back, Westbrook comes back, how are they going to reassemble that team for maybe another championship run if they still have it in them? But on to the next one, the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, Matt Ishbia, probably the most delusional person I've ever come across in my entire life. Yeah, that Suns team thinks where they're close to a championship. Are they out in the first round, swept in the first round with a big three of KD, Booker, and Beal that's taking up so much of your salary cap? Then you also have Nurkic and Allen, who all up combined take up $190 million. So where do the Suns go from here?
Well, 26 out of the other 29 NBA GMs would rather have the Suns team than their own team, apparently, on Matt Ishbia.
It's a hell of a comment.
Deep in America, I tell you.
That is one fact. Delusion does run deep in North America.
Don't Phoenix only have two picks till 2030?
Yeah, he said picks too.
I reckon this team should just run it back, but they should just be very strategical in the pieces that they put around these players. I don't reckon you should trade any of them. Maybe depends what the market is for Nurkic, but to be fair, I reckon you just run it back and you just try to get some continuity that you haven't had. Just commit to something, whatever way it is, commit to it and run for it for a few years. I think the teams that are doing the best in the NBA at the moment are the teams that haven't been assembled recently. They're the teams that have been built over, 3, 4, 5 years. So I reckon just stick the course. Do you fire Frank Vogel? That's another thing as well. I don't reckon you do. Just run it back, find some good pieces to fill out this roster, and stay patient. Don't set your expectations too high.
I've got the Suns to run it back, but they just need to sign a proper big. Nurkic's too small out there competing against these other guys, and he can't space the floor. What can they do? They don't have much options. They got no assets. Not much money. There's not much they can do but run it back.
Yeah, with not having much to work with for the Suns, because, second apron, you can't use mid-level exception. So if you're not going to trade Beal, Booker, or Durant, and then obviously Allen, I don't know if I want to trade Allen. So really, yeah, I agree. The only piece to trade becomes Nurkic. And what can you trade with him is the key question. You almost have to hope that some of these guys, like who? Okogie, what's his name? Eric Gordon, opt into their play options so that you can actually use them in some of these deals possibly. But no picks since till 2031. That's a hard one. So really, I think it's Nurkic, because Nurkic struggled. I think he gave them really nothing in that Timberwolves series. Obviously, the Timberwolves probably were the better team either way, but nothing. Offensively, he can't really shoot the ball. He's not really going to bully guys and get himself buckets in the paint. I think that's the guy. Who you get, that's probably the tricky part. But yeah, when you're tied up with three guys taking up $152 million, buddy, you're in a bad spot to really try round out that roster with really good quality role players that can take you to a championship.
Do you think they target someone like maybe a Robert Williams or something like that? Because he's backup to Ayton on Portland, isn't he?
Ooh,
maybe like a Tillman or something on the Celtics or something like that, just to. And then they can have a bit more money to flight with somebody else or something like that.
I could even a Robert Williams, even though he can't shoot, he gives you a lob threat. I like that. I'd actually quite like that. And defensively, shot blocker, unlike Nurkic. Yeah,
defensively, way better than what Nurkic provided.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Or Mark Williams might go cheap with how injury prone he is.
Man, that'll be a good deal. Like, yeah, they just need to do something to improve. Yeah, all due respect to Nurkic, but man, if you can't with that team where they are, you need to fix it up quickly.
They also need a point guard as well, like a proper point guard, rather than running Booker as that point guard role. Just more stability, I reckon. If they can get in on the Trae Young sweepstakes, not for Trae Young, but like there's going to be a displaced point guard out of that, see if they can be the third team in the trade and try snag someone like a Trae Jones or something. That might go a long way.
Jeremy Sochan or something like that.
Jeremy Sochan.
Monte Morris might be.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Monte Morris, I think he might be off contract with the Timberwolves at the end of this season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he got waived by the Pistons, eh?
Mm. So that's a perfect, bro. You need, even because Monte Morris started before when he was, Washington or some, and then Denver.
Denver, yeah.
So that's a quality pickup there, because you just need someone to be able to run that offense. Tyus Jones, I think, might be a little bit too expensive for them. Like, yeah, there's probably no chance. But yeah,
I see Trae Jones.
What about Trae Jones?
What about
TJ McConnell?
Trae Jones can't shoot.
TJ McConnell is that elite tier backup point guard. I just don't think he's.
But TJ McConnell might want to be on a starting team.
Yeah, he might want to be around.
Situation looking like.
How are the Suns going to get?
Yeah, but that, no, but that's the Suns are going to have to find a way to get. Like, I agree with some of these calls here because the Suns, they're not going to get a really good starting. They're just going to have to go with one of those tier three backup starting point guards.
Yeah,
backup point guards. That's who they're going to have to have.
The thing is, you're not going to get a great backup point guard. You're only at best going to get a good one. So I reckon.
Yeah, that's all right.
In an ideal world, you get a TJ McConnell. But I think TJ McConnell's out of the range of what they have the ability to get with what they have on their roster.
I think Monte Morris is probably the most realistic for sure.
We're talking about this on the basis that they're not going to trade Bradley Beal.
Lord Ishbia said that he wants to run it back. Lord Delusional, that's the name.
Yeah, but he's delusional because once he starts calling teams and they're just like, he goes, I want a point guard, I want this, and this is what I've got the offer. They're going to be like, get out of here, mate. Give us Bradley Beal or one of them, or don't call us back.
Yeah, the team who takes that Bradley Beal contract, that GM will be fired the very next day. But that's like they almost have to try force that move. If you can and get some really good stuff back, okay, cool. But if you can't, then I agree with these takes here, where you go get a backup point guard who won't be the creme de la creme of backup point guards. But I'd rather take my chances with a point guard that's low turnover, because you're going to be playing with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. I don't need you to go out there and score. I just need you to go out there and be, in the terms that American football always uses about some of these quarterbacks, be a game manager. Just don't turn the ball over. Be a game manager. We've got the talent to score. Be the game manager for us and do a shift.
They could
to revive his career.
Yeah, a good guy for them would be someone like Micic from Charlotte as well. If they could get someone like that,
Micic would be nice.
Expensive now, wouldn't he?
Was that
Micic defensively would scare me a little bit. But I'll take my chances.
He's on a multi-year deal, so I don't know. I feel like if Charlotte Hornets get really desperate and they really want to win 43 games this year, you could force their hand with something.
Yeah.
Trae Mann, too. He played well then, so.
Yeah, Trae Mann is good.
Good but that is the Phoenix Honey Buns. Where they'll go, will be able to move, will they get who they'll be able to move with, who will move ahead with them going forward, will be interesting.
There's a tongue twister.
I know, yeah, I really
run it
made
back
that.
Though. Run it back.
Yeah, give it another go. Onto a team that, please God, don't run it back. The Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers out in the first round, lost to Denver again, but this time managed to get a game, lost 4-1. LeBron James with the player option. Then we've got LeBron James, Taurean Prince, Spencer Dinwiddie. Well, Dinwiddie and Prince definitely free agents, but LeBron possibly a free agent. Everyone else there's tied up, ready to go for next season. Should you run it back? Darvin Ham just got fired. What's your thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers?
Firstly, the new Los Angeles Lakers head coach hasn't been announced, but I'll announce it for you.
I
saw a post on Facebook today from some casual fan saying potentially Michael Jordan. Apparently he's interested in being a coach. Imagine. Us young fans can't imagine. We can't imagine things like this. But it's all dependent on LeBron, the Lakers, to be fair. If LeBron opts into his contract, that's $53 million or something that he's going to get, and that takes it out of their cap, and so they can't use that money somewhere else. If he opts out, they can use that $53 million somewhere else to get somebody, to get a couple of players to fill a bit of a void, and then get rid of the, I think it's Prince and Dinwiddie. Is that what it is? Yep. And fill the void with those guys. Trade D'Angelo Russell, and then they can start a rebuild from there and build players around Anthony Davis, because this team's not going anywhere. But if LeBron opts in, then all of those are out of the window. And they're gonna be shit again.
I think they're in trouble, the Lakers. Like,
you lose LeBron, where do you go? You keep LeBron. Do you run it back with the same team? Like, he's saying get rid of Taurean Prince or whatever, but he was about the best player off the bench.
Is there any good coaches out there as well?
Casey, Mike Boyle,
Adrian Griffin.
Those are the two.
Adrian Griffin. He'd be good.
Oh, I think Adrian Griffin
if
too.
If I remember correctly, in every Bucks series where the Bucks didn't look good, what was the first thing out your mouth?
Well, that's the only coach that can command respect, bro. Like, I want a coach that's going to come in there that as, we need someone with authority. Darvin Ham lost that locker room after the Westbrook stuff. Yeah, it was long gone. This guy here, bro, he's won a championship. I know he's only won one championship. Last year, I'll absolve him for that series against the Bucks purely because Giannis was kind of hurt, missed some games. So that's okay. But you need someone to come into the Lakers locker room who's going to be experienced, can command that locker room. That's what I like about Bud. And Dwayne Casey, where is Dwayne Casey? I love Dwayne Casey so much. Where is he? Bring him back. Come to LA. We need you.
Dwayne Casey's in the library searching how to not get fired when you win coach of the year. That's why he's still not over it.
The Lakers could do a sign and trade for Doc Rivers.
They were trying to like talk about Jason Kidd today as well, and I was like, bro, why would Jason Kidd leave a winning situation in Dallas to come to the Lakers? That's such a terrible, like, some people just start the worst rumors, man.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, in my opinion, I think, yeah, you got to go see what's out there. Obviously, you finally got rid of Darvin Ham, which, should, in my opinion, should have been a long time ago. Especially if you're talking about, oh, we've been looking at getting rid of him since February. All right, so why not do it then and try to continue the season with a coach that you're not okay? Like, anyway, that's just weird to me. But, yeah, definitely someone new. Do you go for someone with experience, or do you try to get a first-time head coach again? Because for me, if I'm looking at that Lakers team, if LeBron comes back, hell no, you're not going with the first-time coach. You need someone with experience. If LeBron leaves, then, yeah, by all means, go ahead and get a first-year coach.
I reckon, like, if you're JJ Redick, surely you have to look at it and be like, okay, I want to be an assistant coach somewhere for, like, 3 years, play the patience game. When was the last time a player went from player
Steve
to
Nash.
Coach?
Steve Nash.
I said, and I was going to say, and did it well. Because it didn't work out well for Steve Nash. And, Jason Kidd took a long time to get his footing as, like, a well-respected coach. And even then, he hasn't really proved too much. So I reckon you just got to be a bit more patient and go for an assistant coach job for a few years and then go for it. Get your feet under you first.
Well, if he signs with Charlotte, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Would Charlotte win 20 games or something this year? Like,
they're going to win 42 games next year, mark my words.
Oh my god.
Okay, you're delusional. So the question I think we're all missing here is, let's just hypothetically say that LeBron doesn't re-sign. He opts out of his contract and signs somewhere else, Golden State with Bronny. Mm. And then the Lakers are in trouble, and then what are they going to do? Hypothetically, AD goes, you know what? I don't want to be in this situation. I want to be traded. Then what do they do?
Nah, that won't happen. I think AD's staying in LA regardless. He's on a big contract. Why would he leave? I think the best case scenario, as much as I love LeBron James, bro, best case scenario, LeBron leaves. This is a young man's league. Look at what the Lakers have to do to get to the level of the Nuggets, OKC, Dallas. Look what, like, they have to do too much, and they don't have the, like, with a 39-year-old, you just don't have what it takes to beat these other teams, in my opinion. To do what you're going to have to do to beat these teams, you have to overhaul everyone. There'd have to be no salary cap. I think the best case for the Lakers going forward, why would I want LeBron to come back? That's going to do absolutely nothing for me if I'm Jeannie Buss. Yeah, it's good for the brand, but in terms of winning, bro, you guys know me. Biggest LeBron fan. You're not winning nothing with LeBron on this Lakers team. Absolutely nada. You can go to the playoffs, but you're not going to win a championship. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's tough. Like,
you know where he will win, though? You know where he will win?
Where's that?
With that man, the greatest shit of all time. Put him over there with Steve Kerr. Championship going to Golden State. I'm telling you right now.
I hate that. I hate you. Nothing.
And then they'll both retire the next year, and we'll all just be so thankful that we managed to witness it.
I seen an article that popped out saying the perfect scenario for both KD and the Warriors was a reunion. That I just don't reckon KD goes back to the Warriors. I just don't reckon they're going to be able to get to that level that they need to. That team is so far past the ability of one or two players being added to it to win a championship that it's not even funny. Blow it up or just make significant adjustments. Steph can still be your guy, but just get better two and three guys in there. Like, to me, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm out on the Golden State Warriors.
Bob Myers left for a reason. He's seen the lights went off and he left.
I agree. Bro, like, this team, they were 27 and 28 years old when they assembled that time in 2017. These guys are 35, 36. This is not the same. And plus, listen, Jed, please don't run with this. Please, I beg you to not run with this. If you put Kevin Durant on the Warriors as they are right now, I'll still take the Thunder in a 7-game series. That's just no. The Warriors are not doing anything. This is 2024. They're not doing anything by adding Kevin Durant. I'm sorry. No chance.
I have such little respect for the Golden State Warriors that I didn't really take that as a compliment towards the Thunder.
Yeah. The Thunder, I think, would still beat them. I would still take the Timberwolves to beat them. I would still take the Nuggets to beat them with Kevin Durant right now. This is not 2017 anymore, man. We're in 2024. This is completely different, bro. I just don't see why teams want to add older, aging stars and think it's going to work and help your team boost up. I'm trying to get younger. That's me personally.
With the way the cap works and all the restrictions now, the major benefit is having continuity, chemistry, and young emerging players that you can build around. Like, there is very little to be gained by using all your salary cap on two players that you've brought in. I think, like, homegrown talent or traded for at the right time is the way to go. And none of these teams that think they're bucking the trend are going to be able to do it, I don't think. Be realistic.
The homegrown talent, whatever you said, is so true. Like, you look at all the championship teams of the past, like, the two main players have been drafted by their team, pretty much.
Well, at least the core. Like, I reckon, even though the Raptors bought in Kawhi, they had the homegrown recipe still. They had the continuity, they had the chemistry, they had everything going for them. They just needed that one piece. And when that one piece came available, they traded for it, worked perfectly, you win the championship. That Kawhi left, but still, that perfect execution of a building game plan right there.
I did get lucky, but hey, we won't talk about that.
But yeah, the Lakers, yeah, I think there's too much to do that can, to try win a chip with this team, like with LeBron and AD as your guys, there's far too much that you're going to have to do to overhaul everyone else to get anywhere near that top four. So we'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, David Ham gone, like we said, but will LeBron opt into that player option? I think him and PG are going to be really interesting to watch with those player options, see if they opt in or opt out and what the future is going to be for those teams. But on to the New Orleans Pelicans, who also got swept in the first round. Like, man, that is tough. That is very tough. Yeah, Zion Williamson obviously missed the second play-in game against the Kings, which they managed to win, but then went into that OKC series. They just did not look like they had anything for them. Brandon Ingram, I think now people are talking about, was in the torture chamber. CJ McCollum didn't look too well without Zion. Where do you think that the Pelicans go going forward next season? Do you try run it back and say, Zion be healthy, or let's try and move some people around?
Run it back.
Run it back. Absolutely.
Maybe Valanciunas might need to go, but that's about the only person.
Minor adjustments and run it back. Like, this team has come so far. From you think about where they are now compared to when they traded AD, I feel like this team has potential. One or two pieces. Like, if they just keep being that team that chips away, a few dominoes might fall the right way. I don't think they have enough pieces or enough cap space or enough picks to be able to change drastically in a way that's going to better their chances. Just stick with it and hope the dominoes fall your way.
Yeah, I think Trey just said it. Valanciunas, I think, is probably the only piece that I'd be looking to change to go younger. Whether I don't know who that would be just yet, but yeah, potentially Valanciunas, because he's getting a bit old. His shooting's a bit dusty. His mobility's a bit dusty. So he's definitely the piece that I'd be looking to get rid of, because I think they've got enough bench players as well to make a difference. You've got some solid wing defenders as well. Ingram does need to pick his game up if he's going to be a two or a one or whatever he's going to be. He needs to be pick his game up for sure. CJ McCollum, he just fell away from shooting, and that's all he's pretty much bringing at the moment, the older he's getting. Zion is 100%, brings so much to that team. And yeah, running it back, I think, is the best option.
Ingram is 100% not the one.
You reckon trade him?
No, not saying trade him, but Ethan said, is he the one or the two? He's not the one.
Yeah, he's not the one.
Yeah, well, he's the one when Zion's not there.
One thing that we didn't talk about, I reckon Willie Green is a great coach as well. He's the right person for the situation. I think they've got a lot of good things going for them. And if they want to reflect on their history of what they have been as a franchise and what they've achieved, I reckon it makes no sense to act irrationally and go, okay, we lost in the first round without our best player. Let's just drastically change now. Run it back, stay patient, and just keep grinding. I reckon just don't overreact. You don't need to overreact, so don't overreact.
Yeah, run it back. I reckon Herb Jones, you're not getting out the gym. You're just shooting threes only this offseason. That's it. Zion Williamson, yeah. Same thing as I was saying with Kawhi, but I'm not going to overreact as much because Zion is only, 23 years old. But we pay you to be available in the playoffs. You're never there. 2021, you weren't there. 2024, you're not there. Obviously, injuries are not in your control. But with Zion, if he had played, would they have won after what I watched? I can probably confidently say no. But yeah, you chip away at it. You keep chipping away because I think you've got the good core is there. You've got elder statesman in CJ McCollum. Then obviously you've got Ingram. You've got Trey Murphy. You've got Herb Jones. You've got Zion. The bench is pretty good still. Jose Alvarado's there. You've got Larry Nance. But yeah, looking after all those names I just named, the only person I'm looking at and saying I don't think you're fit is JoVale. I think he's the only guy that I'm looking at to say we might need to move you. And same thing as Nurkic, like we said for the Suns, that's a piece that's who can you get out there to for JoVale? I don't know. But playing with Zion, if you can get a big man that can shoot that three ball, maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe. Brook Lopez? I don't know. A big like that. A big that can shoot the three and space out.
Miles Turner would be your guy, but he's not going to become available.
Yeah. A big man who can shoot the three ball would be perfect.
The luckiest guy in NBA history.
Who, Miles Turner? Bro, his career has been a roller coaster.
What about a Naz Reid?
Oh, yeah, because you're going to get Naz Reid.
Right.
You don't know what these DMs get up to. Sometimes they get players from all over the
show.
T-Wolves
are making no
move. He'd be a good player for that team.
The only way the Pelicans get Naz Reid is if the Pelicans GM catches the Wolves GM having an affair with his wife. And he's like, the only way I'm not telling her is if you give me Naz Reid. That is the only goddamn way that's happening.
That's so good from the Timberwolves, though, because you think about it. Naz Reid, bro, that he's the perfect big man for any team. Big man who can shoot the three so well. He's big body. He's not a guy that can be bullied. And he's, oh man, he'd be so good for other teams. And they've locked him out, what, 4 years, 52? So now, yeah, you've got these teams like, well, look at the Pelicans. I'm like, bro, Zion's in the exact same spot that Giannis was in, where we kept on saying, man, if he had a big man who could space the floor, not clog it up for him, he could take off. And obviously Giannis has taken off. He's become Giannis. But you got to give some credit to Brook Lopez, because he spaces out, doesn't allow centers to just camp there. Same thing. If Zion got a big man center that can shoot the ball consistently and allow him to just attack three lanes with no bodies and no walls in there, bro, it could be the Pelicans team could take another step. So who that big man is going to be, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, the Pelicans, I think you definitely run it back. See what we can do after next year. If it doesn't work out so well, I think you definitely move Jovell. But after next year, if you move Jovell, for example, and it doesn't work out again, then CJ McCollum might be the guy next on the chopping block to see what you can get for him. But yeah.
Not bad, though. Yeah, exciting GGs. Stuff.
GGs to the West, man. Yeah, GGs to those four teams out in the first round. But yeah, who's got the most? Let's do that. Out of all those four teams that lost, Pelicans, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, if you had to predict for next year, who's the team that you're most optimistic about? And how far do you think they can go?
Pelicans.
The NBA is showing that this is the young men's taking over the league.
I just like where, like, Zion played a lot of games this year. I feel that's a step in the right direction. He just got
the wrong injury. Played a lot of games this year and got injured in the playoffs as well.
The difference is I'm talking more about the trend for Zion playing more games, even though he missed the playoffs.
It's the same trend. It's the same trend.
One's way earlier in his career. Because you remember, Joel Embiid had a similar trajectory to Zion, missing a lot of time early on and then just become a guy who kind of, bad example to use considering he's just been injured for a lot of this season. But, you know, he turned it around and he's been a really good player. So
who do you have, Ethan?
I'm not out.
Who do you have, Ethan?
To be fair, I obviously want the Clippers to do well, but I would say that the Pelicans, I think, currently with their roster and what they have going for them, have the most opportunity to get further next year than the other three.
Everyone's been boring here, so everyone's going with the same thing. But let me change it up. Okay. Give me Matt Ishbia. I'll jump on the train. Just to buck the trend, let me jump on the Matt Ishbia delusion train. Since I'm so delusional about LeBron and the Lakers, let me jump on the Suns train.
Fine. I'll jump on the Clippers train then. I'm on the Clippers.
I'll jump to the Pelicans now.
What an idiot, Ethan.
I baited him. I wanted him to jump so I could go to the Pelicans. I agree. I think it's the Pelicans. It's a young man's league, bro. Like, yeah, they've got by far the most potential. I think, yeah, with Zion, can we get him, yeah, just to be a bit healthier? They showed us that with him healthy, they can be a tops, what? They were in the playoffs consistently and then they kind of let themselves down at the end. But yeah, with him fully healthy, another off-season together, let's go see how far I can go. And I'll say Pelicans, I'll say second round for sure. After that, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, one thing I also will say, how exciting is it talking about where these teams can go and what these teams can do? Like, it's as much as teams getting eliminated sucks for those teams, like trade talk, all this kind of stuff, I feel like it's where the NBA gets juicy. NBA lottery's coming up as well, guys. Let's get pumped for that.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Another Sam Presti. Do your thing again.
13th of May.
I think it's
the draft, like 24th of June or something.
Yeah. But Trey Mitchell, what do you got for us today, man? Update on the scoreboard. 9 for myself, 9 for Trey, 8 for Jed. Ethan, at some point we'll do the 7-point quiz. I don't know if it will be today, but at some point we'll give you the 7-point quiz.
Yeah, they know when Trey's doing it. This is a hard one.
Won't do it today.
Okay.
In honor of Nas Reed just going ham in the fourth quarter today, I've got NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. We can go the whole award through like the 80s and stuff, but I don't think you'll get it. But we'll just put a 5-minute timer on whoever can get the most.
Oh, can I go first? Do you get more points for the amount of times that they've won it? Do you get more points for the amount of times that they've won it?
Oh, I guess so. If they've won it more than once, you'll get a bonus point.
Okay. Jamal Crawford.
Hang on, hold on.
Wait for the timer to start, fellas. Jeez.
All right, timer starts now. Ethan.
Crawford.
Yep.
Lou Williams.
Yep. Bonus point.
Probably they said all the things. James Harden.
Yep.
Montrezl Harrell.
Yep.
Naz Reid.
Yep.
Lamar Odom.
Yep.
Shit, out of ideas. Eric Gordon,
yep.
I hate that because that was the one I was going to say. I am going to say bugger. Kyle Anderson. Fuck, I hate myself.
Who? Kyle Anderson?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, what's Manu no, Ginobili? I mean the Rockets one. What's the
Manu Ginobili? Yep.
Did he win it twice?
No.
Were you meaning Ryan Anderson, dude?
Ryan Anderson, that's who I meant. Bugger. Did he get it? No.
Whose turn is it?
Is it mine?
I think so. Okay.
Yeah. I'll go with Spencer Dinwiddie.
No.
I'm gonna go with Ryan Anderson.
Ryan Anderson didn't win it.
I'm going to go with Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen? What was it? Nah, didn't win it.
Shit. Dale Curry.
Huh?
Dale Curry.
He did.
Oh. I'm going to go with Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale won it twice.
Give me Nick. Oh, no, sorry. Dennis Scott.
I think this was Dennis Scott. Nah.
Is it Mike? Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon.
Yep.
I don't think this player has, but they deserve one. Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson did win one.
Hell myself. Mike Miller.
Mike Miller did.
Nailing it over there, P, mate.
Yeah,
P's
got us in the bag.
Yeah, 100%. It was also been interesting. Iman Shumpert.
Close.
J.R. Smith.
Nah, bro, you can't say close, bro. What the f... Nah, come on,
I was
going
to say J.R. Smith anyway.
You can't say close. Nate Robinson.
My bad.
Pete, get a little bit more upset next time.
Oh, my
Nate God. Nate Robinson. No, Nate Robinson didn't want it.
What an idiot. You should have said J.R. Smith.
Wait, what how back further far back are we going? Are we just like
just the whole award?
Bill Walton,
bro. Like, have you got the fucking answers on your thing?
Bro, how did Bill Walton
fuck get no? It? I'm just throwing players out there, brother.
He won it on the Celtics.
I didn't even know he played for the Celtics.
Give me Hedo Turkoglu.
I'm pretty sure it's actually my go.
Okay, go, Jude.
Hedo Turkoglu.
Nah.
I baited him. Michael Cooper.
Michael Cooper. No.
Paul Pierce.
Someone that won it twice.
Oh, Billy Cunningham.
No.
Terry Cummins.
Enes Kanter?
No.
Nick Anderson.
Paul Pierce, did I say? No. Would you say Nick Anderson?
Yeah.
No.
Joe Dumars?
Joe Dumars, no.
Damon Stoudemire?
Ron Harper.
That is the end. Damon Stoudemire, no. Neither was Ron Harper.
It's rigged.
Right, I'll just tell you up the scores.
Yeah, I definitely did not come first in that one, I tell you that.
No, you definitely did. I think
no
you had
chance.
Like...
Brother, I got three.
I
counted
like...
three.
I think I may have got five.
And I didn't get any bonus points because everyone who I named only has one.
Yeah, I reckon the bonus point was weak because the bonus point ones were the easiest ones to guess.
I can't believe
it's the way it goes,
like,
mate.
Literally 4 minutes to get Brogdon.
Minutes to get Brogdon. Well, you didn't get either. You didn't get Hero either.
Hero.
Winner, by surprise, is Ethan McDonald on seven.
Damn.
Jed got second with five, and P got four.
Shut up, man. Great. That was a great bonus points. You gave bonus points to the most obvious answers. I'm not even upset.
And the fact that...
Hey, I needed Ethan, that. Is it my 7.1?
No. My bad. Jed and Ethan tied.
Oh, we need a bonus point question.
Tyler Hero.
Okay, apart from Tyler Hero, you got to name one more.
Can you give us like a year?
The two-time winner won it in 91-92 for the Pacers.
No, I don't even know Pacers.
96, one of the best international players at the time.
Oh, Kukoc.
Bingo.
Bulls. Kukoc.
Unlucky. Thanks for taking it away from me, man. Thanks for taking it away from me.
Can we give a point each? Can we have a point each? Give one to Ethan because I feel bad.
Yeah, I feel like I deserve that point that time.
We can give you a half a point each.
So who's the winner? Is it Jed?
Yeah, it was Jed.
Wow, there you go, man. Tied up at the top. 999. There you go. There you go. That's tough to lose to. That's a tough one to lose to. That's a thriller. That's two finals Ethan's been in. Got Cook's number. I'm kidding.
Hey, turn that hat around, Ethan. Oh. Show everyone what you made.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so that's actually that's one whole point. If it's two half points, that's one whole point.
The other two-time winner is, you probably won't get this, but it was Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah, but shout out Trey. Shout out Trey for giving Jed that point. It's not Iman Shumpert. It's close. Otherwise, Ethan would have won. So there you go, guys. That's the second time it's been rigged.
Facts.
It's been rigged for another Mitchell. There you go. If you guys don't think nepotism doesn't exist, there you go.
Hey, it's clear. What about you? I lost because I spent six picks on fucking the Atlanta Hawks all-time leading scorer in the playoffs.
Hey, brother, you're on 9 points. This guy could have had another point if you didn't cheat the system. There you go.
Well, next time it's going to be for 7 points.
I stand with the Clippers.
Hey, don't worry, Trey. I got you next time.
I stand with the Clippers here. I stand with the Clippers because that was an absolute disgrace to the game. Disgrace to the game. That's all right. Jed. Welcome back to the Nine Club, and Ethan will be back. But we shall also be back on the next episode where we break down, what else is going to happen during the playoffs. But jersey will be given out next episode, so make sure you're following the channel if you want to get that jersey. And again, share the podcast with your family, your friends, your work colleagues. We want to blow this thing up and keep it going, keep it moving. So let us leave you guys to be, and let's catch you on the next one. Dunk Dynasty Podcast, over and out.
Ciao, ciao.